It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. Elisa Brady. If I say the word patriotism, what's your first thought? Maybe the American flag or a feeling about the country? Or is it politics? Some words and priorities aren't what they used to be, comparing now to 25 years ago in a Wall Street Journal NORC poll. NORC, a nonpartisan research organization at the University of Chicago. Among the findings, political and generational divides on a variety of what many would call America's bedrock values. Fewer than 4 in 10 surveyed, 38%, call patriotism very important to them now, versus 70% in 1998. 39% call religion very important, just 30% say the same about raising children. And while 58% say tolerance for others is important, that number was 80% just 4 years ago. The only priority gaining ground in the poll is money. We spoke with guests offering different perspectives on the shift and whether the nation's divisions are taking a toll. First up, former Utah Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Fox News contributor and host of the Jason in the House podcast. Then Leslie Marshall, Democratic strategist and also a Fox News contributor. We made some edits for time and thought you might like to hear the whole thing. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the weekday Fox News Rundown podcast. Now here's Jason Chaffetz on the Fox News Rundown Extra. So I wanted to ask you about this poll. A few of the highlights are, you know, people are not rating patriotism is very important anymore, only 38%. 39% say religion is very important. These kinds of things are down sharply from when they first asked these questions in 1998. What do you think is driving these changes?
Well, first of all, it scares me because if we become less religious, less patriotic, more about self and the immediacy of wanting more money and living just in the present for themselves, it doesn't portend very well for the future of our country. This is I think a radical departure where we've been, but I think it's actually our portrayal of reality. And I think this current generation that's coming up has lived in a very different world than I did or my parents did.
How so? What do you think are the biggest factors in that?
I don't know all of the genesis of it, other than I don't think this younger generation has learned to work hard. And I don't think they've learned to sacrifice. I don't know that they know the value of a dollar. And, you know, when 9/11 happened, so many people were so young. But the word went out, look, just keep going to the mall, keep shopping. Don't worry about it. You know, everything will get back to normal as soon as possible. And yet in the past, in the world wars and other types of catastrophic events, people sacrificed, they stepped up, they helped each other. And I think about some of the hurricanes, some of the tornadoes that we've had recently and in just the last few years. That's been the best of America in our hardest of times, because it didn't matter if you were on the red side of the aisle, the blue side of the aisle, people went out and helped each other. But as a pervasive across the board, I don't know that our younger generation has learned what it's like to be an American and what freedom and liberty and self-determination is really all about.
And we probably should be careful not to paint all millennials, for instance, with the same broad brush, right? I mean, there are, you know, individuals are individuals, and this is one poll. How much of this could just be perception and polling, that it's not as bad as it may seem on paper?
Look, there are still some really good quality people out there that do the right thing for all the right reasons. They do step up. But look, our military recruitment is down. Life expectancy is down. Divorce is up. Marriage is down. Community involvement is one number. It was up to 62%. Now it's down to 27%. That's not just a statistical error. I think that is something that you feel as a community, as a nation. It creates a lot of loneliness, mental health issues. And I see that playing out. Certainly COVID did not help at all.
Especially as a former member of Congress, you've gotten to hear a good amount about what people like and don't like about the country. How do you think politics has impacted Americans' patriotism?
There's been a lot of divisiveness. I think we need to learn as a nation that it's okay to debate issues, that we can disagree, but don't be disagreeable. You still want to be able to put your arm around somebody and recognize that we live in this country together, and that while we have different divergent thoughts on how to get there, I hope we're all trying to achieve the same thing. But some part of me thinks I don't know anymore. I don't know if we're trying to actually achieve the same thing. And you know, there's a big chasm. There's a big difference between the conservative viewpoint of self-determination and a more socialist type of attitude, which says, hey, government should come in and take care and solve all these problems. And that's a big problem. It's not easily solved.
Is there a way on a national scale to bring Americans, especially younger Americans, back toward patriotism and more of a sense of hope for their future in the country?
Well, I hope it doesn't require something catastrophic, whether it be a natural disaster, man-made disaster, or, you know, some sort of horrific thing that brings us all together. I don't want it to be that. But short of that, I worry that we're spending such a massive amount of money. Nearly one out of every $4 in this country right now is spent by the federal government. And the labor participation rate has been so low compared to years in the past that you have too many people. What that tells me is too many people are relying on government to provide for their means, and they don't learn how to work. And we created this whole series of laws at the state level where we don't allow young people sort of an apprentice rate or wage to get out there and learn at age 14, 15 how to work. Instead, we coddle them and protect them and say, oh, it's okay. And, you know, go ahead and just keep looking at your social media on your phone and create this artificial view of what reality actually is. So I don't know how to put that genie back in the bottle. I know what the end looks like, but boy, these are the big seminal questions of our time.
What does the end look like? I mean, should we be more concerned as a country about what these kinds of numbers, even fewer people having children, what that could mean down the road for our economy?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there are other countries like Japan and China and others that are having a population issue. Part of the reason we're upside down financially as a nation is that this baby boomer generation, you know, think of it like a snake eating something, right? It's going through the snake and this big bubble comes and then it comes down. But we need young, fresh workers to fill in the void of a mass of people retiring. And in order to keep Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and everything going, you need a zooming economy. But if too many people in the economy say, it's too hard to start a business. If I just stay on the government payroll, then guess what? You don't have a booming economy. And, you know, we better start realizing that thanking entrepreneurs and companies and people that are willing to start a business are the backbone of this country. I think we're going to have these problems for a long time.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Can this kind of bleak assessment that this poll lays out, can this somehow help Republicans in the 2024 election? Or could a campaign effort to appeal to bedrock values, if you will, be risky if younger voters just aren't feeling it?
I don't think appealing to the bedrock values of the country is risky. I think what it shows is that there are still a major portion, a growing portion of the population that doesn't react well to the flag, to recognizing our troops, to thanking the police, And I think it's something that we should campaign on and we should tout and we should talk about. But we, I think on the conservative side of the equation, need to talk from our hearts and explain why these things are important, not just cite the statistics. We're really good as Republican conservatives, are really good at stats. They're not very good at explaining to everybody why they believe what they believe. And that talking from the heart and showing examples and befriending people for all the right reasons, that's what wins elections.
Former Utah Congressman and Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Now we hear from Democratic strategist and Fox News contributor Leslie Marshall. Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
Good, Leslie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I feel like I haven't spoken to you in forever. It's great to talk to you again.
You too.
Fantastic. Okay, so they're giving me a thumbs up in master control. And they probably told you it's recorded. It's not live.
Yes.
For this particular one. Okay, great. So, so I wanted to ask you about this new poll. Some of what are, you know, have traditionally been considered bedrock values for the country are on the decline in terms of the importance to people. So 38% call patriotism very important, 39% say religion's very important. Are you surprised by these kinds of results?
Not at all.
Why not?
Well, I think patriotism, if we take that first, the meaning of patriotism, I think patriotism, sadly, is a word that's become kind of perverted in our nation. And when I say that, I think that patriotism conjures up images of things like January 6th for a lot of Americans. Patriotism is something that at one time what is patriotism? Pride in your nation, right? But I think that the way people display pride in the nation is very different, which is one of the declines. For example, I'm a Democrat. And if you go to my Twitter page, almost everywhere on Twitter, they will call me and anybody who's a Democrat, you know, un-American and say we're not a patriot. I think for some people, the image of patriotism is somebody with an American flag and a Confederate flag. You know, on the back of their truck with guns hanging out and, you know, somebody, you know, went to January 6th or, you know, attends rallies where there's rhetoric that's, you know, violent or very disparaging toward anybody else in the country. So, you know, I think that that has greatly changed what, you know, what patriotism, you know, is. After 9/11, we had a surge of patriotism, right? We were a nation together that came together and was united as we are Americans. We are the good guys, terrorist bad guys. We're together against the bad guys. And I think sadly what's happened in largely since the former presidency is that I think this nation has come down to, if you don't agree with me, you're wrong, I'm right, I'm a patriot, you're not. And that's a turnoff to a lot of people, I think.
Mm-hmm. There is something of a generational split in this polling, where if you ask baby boomers, for example, you don't get the same answer as if you ask millennials. What can we do as a nation to address that or to change it?
That's a great question, because I'm a parent of two teenagers. and my kids are, and I are different generations, obviously. First of all, I think one of the things that we need to do is that, you know, when I was growing up, there were things like, you know, you can be liberal and conservative, you can be Democrat and Republican, you can be left and right, however, you know, you want to say it. But there are categories, for example, for me, you know, I may disagree with you politically, but we're both women. You know what I mean? And we're women first, or we're moms first, and we're Americans first, too. And that has truly been put aside. Look at so many things. I mean, when I was a little girl, I'm going to sound like a dinosaur now, but I had saved my money for my allowance and I wanted to buy my grandmother a gift. So she took me to this little it was probably a thrift shop. And I remember my grandmother loved to drink coffee out of like a very dainty, pretty flowered teacup with a saucer. And I saw one similar to the one she had. And I said, do you like that? And she said, yes, I love it. And I said, okay, I'll get you that. She picked up the cup, turned it over. It said, made in China. She said, save your money. It's crap. And so we've come so far from, you know, patriotism, which is, you know, buy American, right? You know, buy things that are made in America. We don't do that. We're like, what's the cheapest? Let's get those T-shirts 3 for $10, even though it's made in China. At one time, it was like, oh, China made goods and China enemy bad, you know, communist country bad. So I think from there, you know, from when I was a little kid to now, and what we can change is, one unite. And how do you unite? When I was younger, and, you know, I've done talk radio for over 30 years. And people would call into the show, and certainly you could have a heated debate. You know, actually, Congresswoman Pat Schroeder, who just passed away, she told me when I asked her and I met her years ago, why did you leave Congress? And what she said was, we could argue almost to the death on the floor about a bill, but then go out for a beer after. Americans need to be able to go out for a beer together again. And I think until we get to that point, we're going to see numbers like that. And it's not surprising that the younger generation is less inclined to unite and to be more apathetic, because sadly, we have set this example for them. Look, there was a time, you know, but I mean, you know, somebody disagreed with me and they'd be like, I don't agree with you on that. Now it's, you know, you're wrong. You're disgusting, you're ugly, you should die. I mean, it's the nation has just become so vitriolic in its disagreement with each other over things. I've been married, you know, 26 years now. My husband and I don't agree on everything, but we still have a marriage. That's what Americans need to do.
Certainly contentious politics in general has been in play. To the extent that each party might try to blame each other for a decline in American values, for instance, isn't that bad for both parties? You know, that it could turn off voters in general, regardless of who they support?
Yes, Democrats and Republicans. I'm a Democrat. Democrats and Republicans, you know, and there's no person out there that I know, left or right, that agrees 100%, myself included, that agrees 100% with their party's political platform. Let's be honest. You know, it's just like, I mean, I live in California. There are plenty of Democrats that have guns, and there are plenty of Republicans that really don't care if you smoke pot and if gay people get married. And there are people left and right who are uncomfortable with books being banned in, you know, their district, their school district. But, you know, that's what we've come to. That's what we've come to, is if there's something, or the blame game. It's so interesting that you put that up. I'm sorry. When did that happen? Whatever happened to, you know, personal responsibility, or let's find where the problem comes and then let's find a solution. But this is what it has become. And I think, interestingly enough, what they don't show in that poll is also there's a correlation between the drop in Congress and these numbers, approval of Congress. Year after year, Americans' approval of our government on a state level and on a federal level, and specifically the House and the Senate, keeps dropping. Why is that? Why is that? Because there's less trust in the government, and there's not just less trust in the government, there's more distaste in how the government officials are treating each other. I think the reason that there are many Republicans that were for Trump and are against him is because they feel like decorum was lost for the office of the presidency and for political office as we know it. I know Republicans and I know Democrats, that, and myself included, that cringe at some of the things people have said on both sides of the aisle that are fringe elements of both parties that elected officials have said, because our children are watching. And that's why I think our kids care about themselves, right? It's me, me, me. Me first.
President Biden is always trying to make the case that things are improving, his agenda is working, in addition to his low numbers in many polls. How much should a poll like this concern him? Does it make, you know, the optimistic view of the future that he's trying to sell, in essence, does it make it a tougher sell?
First of all, President Biden became president after Donald Trump. And like I said, regarding patriotism, I do think Donald Trump in January 6th had a huge influence on people answering that poll. One, two, polls have not the weight they did years ago because of the various methodologies, the ways that the polls are conducted. Three, I never put much stock in one poll. If I see 10 polls that are saying this, then I would. And then lastly, you know, when it comes to religion, President Biden, and we'll get to the religious part if you let me, President Biden doesn't, nor should he, control that. I do believe in the practice, as Thomas Jefferson had put forth, even though it's not in the Constitution, to practice the separation of church and state. And when it comes to patriotism, presidents can only do so much. And, you know, I think it's going to take some time to turn this around. But President Biden can't do it alone. I mean, we have people in the House and the Senate, and then we have voters themselves. And until everybody makes that decision, you know, some people need to hit rock bottom or, you know, go to hell in a handbag before they climb their way up and go back to the top. So when the president said things are moving in the right direction, they are, just because one poll, I mean, even his poll numbers, you know, people said there was going to be a red tsunami in the midterms. That just didn't happen, which just goes to show you how much those approval ratings or how much those polls are accurate.
One other thing about this poll, fewer than one quarter of adults under age 30, 23%, said that having children was very important. Not that anyone would advocate forcing people to have kids, but that seems like something that's dangerous, perhaps, for the country going forward if people, you know, people just don't want to have kids anymore.
Well, there's a couple of things I'm not surprised about. One is the age of the people asked. If you ask my kids don't want kids. And if you had asked me at that age, I didn't want children until I was 37 and then went through hell and an odyssey of years to get them. I had my son with adoption. I got my son and 13 IVF cycles for my daughter. So I would say that as people mature and have life experiences, their view on children can change. So I'm not surprised about that in that age group. But also, speaking of the me, look, if you care just about yourself and you don't want to, you know, share things, right? You got to share if you have a child a lot. You know, you don't become front and center of your life. You know, it's, you know, you have to take a back seat for quite a many years, you know, 18 or more. There are a lot of things that negative that children conjure up, which is they cost a lot of money, right? And if there's, you know, people out there paying hefty student loans and they're having, you know, a hard time paying a mortgage or certainly a mortgage, even rent in big cities, they can't fathom being able to afford them, right? And I think it's not just money, you know, it's, you know, time that, you know, they take away and also I think a bit of rebellion. They want to do things different than, you know, their parents, differently than their parents. And by the way, this is these poll numbers are very similar to poll numbers that you see in other countries. France is one poll that I saw recently. Less people want to get married, less people want to have children. So this isn't something that's solely American. This is something that's going on in that age group, it would seem, internationally.
Fox News contributor and Democratic strategist Leslie Marshall, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. I wish I got to answer the religion thing, though.
Oh, do you want to? We can tack on another answer.
I'll just tag it on in case you want to use anything from it.
Absolutely.
Good?
What is it about the religion piece of this that stands out to you?
Well, being somebody that walked away from my religion, you know, I can answer this. I think not just for me, but for many people, not religion, but religious people have just become far too judgmental. And for, you know, people who maybe viewed their religion as a place where they could find comfort forgiveness, acceptance, and love, they don't feel that, you know? It's interesting. My colleagues, some of them on the right, will blame wokeness for these polls. And I don't think that's the case at all. I would argue maybe even, you know, a lack of wokeness. I have friends that were Catholic that left the Catholic Church when the amount of abuse that was going on in the Catholic Church toward children came out. I have friends that left churches that allowed gay marriages, and I had friends that left churches that didn't, and that excluded, you know, people from the LGBTQ community. But I don't think it's that at all. I just think it comes down to the way, especially like the evangelical community, has changed and has shifted from the core biblical values to pieces of biblical values that suit them at the time to help prop up their argument. And I think politics in the pulpit, the lack of separation of church and state has soured a lot of people when it comes to religion.
Probably in a poll like this, if they distinguished between spirituality, let's say, and religion, the word religion, then maybe they would get a different answer as well.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, if you think about it, you know, when people were, you know, locked down in their homes for what, between 1 and 2 years, depending on where you lived, what you do for a living, and how comfortable you were, you know, reentering life with people around you, whether you were going to wear a mask or not. I think people, you know, found that they didn't need to go to a building necessarily to be part of an organization to talk to God or, you know, to find God. But you know, I do know, you know, look, I have all three religions in my family, right? You know, I have a Jewish parent, a Christian parent, and my husband's Muslim. And there's just so many things. I mean, especially as women, pretty much, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but almost all religions are very sexist. You know, if you just like read the hardcore stuff. That's a turnoff to, you know, especially, you know, young, when I say progressive, I don't mean politically, I mean young, upwardly mobile, when I say progressive, women who would consider themselves to be, you know, feminist and want to be considered equal, you know, to men everywhere. And they feel they are in the eyes of God, but not necessarily in the house that that religion is espousing the word of God.
One metric that actually went up percentage-wise in this poll was money. How much of this can be blamed on TikTok or social media in general? Because at its core, a lot of that is appearances, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, this is – did you interview my son before this? yeah. I mean, seriously, they're all about the bling, right? There, you know, it's the labels and, you know, what you wear. And that's another reason I'm not surprised at them saying, they don't want children, because, yeah, they want a lot of stuff, a lot of material stuff. And again, not just TikTok, although I would agree that that plays into it, our entire society. Look, I jokingly said that a Kardashian could run for office and win because their name is so well known among young people. I'm not really joking. I mean, the fact that, you know, Donald Trump won with no experience. I have somebody in my family that voted for him because he liked him on The Apprentice. We have this cult of personality, and we have this, we're almost enamored with people who, you know, have tons of money. Look at the programming that we have out there, right? Who wants to be a millionaire, right? $1 million houses, right? Selling millions in LA, selling millions in New York. I mean, just look at how many things, you know, are in that category. So yeah, TikTok weighs in, but not just TikTok. It's all over the place. I mean, it's on YouTube, it's on cable TV, it's on, you know, regular non-cable channels. It's just everywhere. It's everywhere you look. It's sad. Believe me, I'm the mother of two teens, and it's hard to it's hard to fight that battle.
Leslie Marshall, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to talk to you again.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at FoxNewsPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.